Welcome to Vision Sunday. I'm so glad that you're here at CCF today. I'm at Salisbury Farm off of Plainfield Pike. The reason I am here today is to give you a visual of what looks like a barren field. But you know, to a farmer, he sees not a barren field, but what he sees is something that could produce a great harvest. And a farmer is able to see this because he has vision. In fact, in just a few short months from now, this field will produce a lot of joy and a lot of families' life. This is actually the field that will be their corn maze. But also, stop and think about what the potential of this field and what it can produce using corn. Not only could it produce food, it could produce oil, it can produce fuel, but even bioplastics. But what is interesting is that a farmer has a vision when a field looks like this to see what it could produce in the future. And this morning, we're going to talk about the vision here at CCF. But I also want you to stop and think about a small kernel of corn and the power that is in this one seed. The power of one seed. It has the power to produce one stalk. It has the power to produce over 600 kernels of corn on one ear on each one of those stalks. And then you look at a field like this. This field has the potential to have 22 to 35,000 stalks of corn in this field, producing a great harvest. But what does it take? What does it take to have that kind of vision? What does it take a seed like this and to be able to harvest a great crop in a few short months? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul will talk to us about seed planting. But before we do that, here's what I'd love for us to do. I'd love for us just to pause for a moment and ask God to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what He has for each one of us today. So let's pray.
So Jesus, we do pray that You will show us exactly what it is that You have us here for. God, we know that no one is here by accident. Jesus, we know that You have every person here for a very specific reason. And God, wherever they are, we pray that You'll make it very clear to them what You are calling them to do, what kind of a decision You're calling them to make today. We need You. I need You. My dependence is upon You. And we ask that You would work here today like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, as we look at this word vision and we talk about vision, I want us to go back to that barren field. And I want you to think about the owner of this field. Wayne is his name, Wayne Salisbury. And I think about when he looks at this field, what he already envisions. He already envisions a field that looks like this. And in fact, he envisions that so much, he's banking on that. Literally, he's banking that it's going to look like this. And stop and think of what it takes to make a field to go from this to see what it can happen in just a few short months. You stop and think about what it takes to make that field look like this. It takes a lot of investment. It takes thousands of dollars to make that happen. Wayne invests thousands of dollars each year to make that field look like this in a few months. And not only takes thousands of dollars, it takes hundreds of man hours. He grabs crews of people and they work that field. They make sure that dirt has the nutrients it needs so that it will produce a harvest of this vision that he had of what could be, of what to many of us may just look like a barren field, but he sees the potential that is there. And you just stop and think about all that it takes to make that happen. And so this morning I want us to think about vision. I want us to think about specifically here at our church and what it will take to help us to actualize, to realize, whatever word you want to use, but what will it take to make God's, what God has planned for our church here. And specifically, we want to answer this question this morning, is where do we go from here? I mean, Pastor Dave has led us for the past 42 years, and it has been an awesome ride. It's been a great foundation that he and so many of you have laid for these past 42 years. But there's something new. There is something different now for us, and that's what we want to look into God's Word. And I love how Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and just to give you some context. You know, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to a specific church, the church at Corinth, and this church had some issues. They had some issues going on, and because in this specific issue that we're going to see come up in just these couple of verses, is they had some people in the church who were trying to align themselves more with one personality over another. And finally, what I love about Paul is he just makes it clear, it's not about personality. It's not about a person. It's about Jesus and what Jesus does. And he also makes it very clear that every person has a role in what God has planned for the church. So let's jump into this very first verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. This is Paul writing, and Paul says, "After all, who is Apollos?" Who is Paul? He's talking about himself. So Apollos was another church leader that was there in Corinth. So basically, here's what he says. He answers his own question. He says, "We are only God's servants." You know, a real leader in a church just knows that they're just a servant of God. That's all we are. And that's all you are. It's what God has just called us to be, just servants. But notice this. "Through whom you believed the good news." So Apollos and Paul were God's servants, but you know what? Look what happened because they chose to serve God. People believed the good news. Now, this good news isn't like, "Oh, good news, I got an A on my exam," or "Good news, I passed." You know, it's not good news, you had a baby boy. It's not that kind of good news. This good news is the gospel good news. And we just cannot jump over this because this is so important that people understand that this good news here means that these guys have went from just being God's creation and they've become children of God. Do you know that not every person alive is not God's child? So many times we hear that, "Oh, well, you're God's child." Well, not necessarily. Now, the more correct term is that you're God's creation. We're all God's creation. But not every person is God's child. It's not until you have believed. What do you have to believe to become God's child? You have to believe that, man, that Rick Moore has sinned. He is messed up and he is separated from God. And because of that separation, you have to believe and put your faith that Jesus really is God and he left heaven and came to earth. And when he did that because he loved you and he loved me. And he wanted to take away the gap, the separation between me and a holy God. And the only way to do that was to make sure that there was a sacrifice that was paid for my sin and for your sin. And so Jesus went to the cross willingly, knowingly, because that's why he came. He knew that was his purpose, was to lay down his life so that God's creation could become his child. This morning, I don't know where you are. You could have grown up in this church, or you could be, this is your first Sunday in this church. But wherever you are, the question for you is, do you understand, do you believe the good news, or do you believe the gospel? Do you believe, have you put your faith in Jesus, that he really is your Savior? So we just can't jump over that. And notice the importance that God used people, Apollos and Paul, he used them to bring this church in Corinth to him, to take away the separation so that they would understand what the good news is. So God uses people who are his servants to make sure that other people know about the good news. And then Paul says, each of us did the work the Lord gave us. and what was the work that the Lord gave them. And here's where it can zero in on every person in here. If you have went from creation and you can from being God's creation to being God's child, no matter if you count, if you say this is your church or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is if you can say that you are God's child, this matters to you, because Paul makes it clear there's two jobs. He says, I planted the seed in your hearts. This is Paul. Paul's saying, Paul, I planted the seeds in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. Here's what's important. That you have a role. Every person in here who is a Christ follower has a role in either planting gospel seeds in somebody's life, or you have the role of watering the gospel seeds that somebody else has already planted in their life. There's no other kinds of seeds to be planted, no other kind of seeds to be watered. If you are a Christ follower, that is your job. That is your role. That's what you should be doing. And I just want you to stop and think about this. Sometimes Christ followers, they feel like that being living a Christ life is like boring, because you know you don't get to go out and have the fun that some people think. But let me just ask you something. I want you to think about this. What if every morning you got up and you know you pulled the blankets off and your feet hit the ground and the first thing you thought of was, God, who is it today? What if you woke up and you prayed this prayer, God, who do you want me to demonstrate your love to today? Think about how that will change the way you go throughout your day. Think about the way that that's going to change when you're driving down the road. Because you are constantly praying that prayer, because you are constantly have that on your mind, that means you are tuning into, listening for the whisper of God. And when you do that, that makes your day go by a lot faster. Two, it makes it very adventurous, because every person you pass, every person that you bump into, every person that you come across, you're asking, God, is this the one? God, do I need to demonstrate your love to that person? Do I need to do it to this person? That means when you are walking through your high school hallways, you're thinking, do I need to demonstrate God's love to that guy? Oh, I hope not. But is it that guy? Right? That's what it means. What it means when you're driving down the road and you see somebody out there, you know, need help, you know, whatever their signs say, right? And you're thinking, you're driving by and you're thinking, dude, you're just working the system. You know, you blow them by, right? I know, because I do that. And there's this guy in Warwick that has set up shop on one corner. And one time my daughter was just like, Dad, have you ever stopped helping him? I'm like, no, the dude's working the system. I just don't trust him. But you know what? I drove by him one day and I heard the whisper. I heard the whisper. Just do something. Do something. And that, just, I mean, it just, I'm telling you, when you walk into your office, when you go into your office and you're like, God, who is it today? You know? I mean, it's like you're on an adventure. This can create a lot of fun in your day. If you don't like to have fun, I'm sorry, but you need to pray like this so that you can have fun in your day. Because when you are looking, actively looking and watching and asking, God, is it this person that I need to demonstrate your love to? Is it this person? And then when God whispers to you and you know it and your heart starts going like, pop, 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 you know that's the person. That's it. You don't need anything else. This week I was in a waiting room and there's this guy sitting across from me. And I kept on making eye contact with him. And of course this thought's going around in my head. And so I'm thinking, okay, I don't even know how to do this. And so I just sat there. I didn't do anything. But you know what God did? God had him roll his wheelchair right towards me. I mean, I couldn't get out of it. You know, he's right there. So I finally had to say something. And so I said to him, boy, it looks like you're having a tough day today. And I said, can I help you out? And he was trying to plug a charger in for his phone. And you know what his response to me was? He says, I am. I am having a tough day today. He says, I didn't get picked up for my dialysis. And I'm in awful pain. I said, can I pray for you? I said, what's your name? His name was Hector. And I got to share with him, just tell it. I mean, simple. Just, hey, Hector, I'll be praying for you, and I just want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. And you know, when I went to leave, and some time had transpired, and I went to leave, he reached out to grab me and just said, thank you again. He didn't come to Jesus, you know. He didn't jump out of his wheelchair and wasn't healed, you know. There wasn't any of that crazy stuff, right? And I mean, not to put God in a box, he could do that kind of stuff, but that didn't happen. It was just somebody listening to the whisper of God and saying, is this the one? And then to step in through it. Well, sometimes the reaction sometimes will blow you away. If you were here Sunday night, you would have heard a tremendous story. If you missed Sunday night, it was awesome. So Sunday night, you know, there's a guy in our church who's newer to our church, but he's been living his life like this. He's been praying for years, this type of a prayer. God, just show me one today. Give me one today. Who do you want me to show your love to today? Who do you want me to demonstrate? Show me that one. And he just walks around, and he's looking. And you know what? He's in Home Depot. Here's Mr. Porter in Home Depot and in the aisle of the lawnmower parts. And he sees this World War II vet with his hat on. It was like 91 years old. And there in that aisle, Mr. Porter strikes up a conversation with him and talks about how high the prices of the lawnmower parts are and where you can get it cheaper, because that's what Mr. Porter knows. But that leads into a conversation to where Mr. Porter is able to pull out one of these cards. And these are the cards that you'll see. You'll find these in our guest services. And it just says, you matter, on them. And on the back side, it has our address. But Mr. Porter was able to pull this out and then open the door to say, you matter to God, you matter to our church, and you matter to me. And then right there in the Home Depot aisle, Mr. Porter was able to help this 90-some-year-old gentleman understand that he didn't have to be just God's creation, but that he could become God's child. And there they prayed in Home Depot, and he accepted Jesus as a Savior right there, because that's what's possible. That is what's possible. That's what's possible when you live your life determined and committed to praying this way. Because when you get up, it changes your perspective. There's going to be somebody at your work that rubs you the wrong way. But when you're asking Jesus, is this the one? Is this the one I'm supposed to demonstrate your love to? It is going to help you to overcome if they're a jerk to you, it's going to help you overcome that. You are going to be able to demonstrate God's love to them. God has a role for you, and it's about planting the seeds of the gospel in somebody, but it may be that they already had the gospel seeds planted in them, and your job is about watering. Your job is just about, you know, making something happen there and then praying like crazy, God will make it grow. And that was the case of, there's a guy named Jerry Jennings. Jerry Jennings was a friend of my dad's, and for years he would ask my dad, he would talk to my dad about Jesus. My dad didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then Jerry Jennings, he was a business owner in the town that we lived in, and there this business owner drove a bus that would drive around town and pick up kids. And finally, my dad says, "I'm not going to your church, but my son will." Boom, and he kicked me out the door. And he made me get on a bus with his buddy, and his buddy took me to his church, and I was freaked out of my mind. I'm not joking. I hid in a closet the whole church service. I wasn't coming out. I'm hiding in the church closet, and you know what? Jerry Jennings never asked me to come back, you know? So, and I didn't. I didn't go back to that church. But then a couple years passed by. My aunt and uncle somewhere came to Jesus. And they begged my mom and dad. They pursued my mom and dad for 12 months. Come to church with us just one time. And my dad said, "No way, we're not going. All the kids don't have any clothes," and blah, all these kinds of excuses. And then finally, one day in the fall, my dad said, "All right, we'll go." And so they go one time. There was a big children's ministry going on downstairs. I go downstairs, and for the first time in my life, I hear a clear presentation of that good news, and that I don't have to be His creation, but I can be His child, and that I can have forgiveness of the sin in my life. And I prayed right there with 1,000 other kids standing around me. I didn't care, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. And unbeknownst to me, upstairs, my mom and dad had asked Jesus Christ into their life, and our family was transformed on that one day because there was seeds that were planted and somebody watered. And that is the power of one. That's the power of seed planting. That's the power of watering the seed. And if we are going to be a church that is committed to living our life like this, then it's going to have huge implications on us. But notice what Paul goes on to say. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. That's not the point. The point is that we're doing it. Because it's not about an individual. It's not about a personality. It's not about who's large and in charge. It's about God making it grow. That's what it's about. And when we as a church commit to living our life like that, then we are able to say, where do we go from here? We're able to answer this question, where do we go from here? It means that we are going to need to add a third service. And this, just that one concept, this one idea means that it has huge implications. Because if you are going to your workplace, if you are going to Stop and Shop and ask, is the cashier the person? And you pray with that cashier and you invite her to come. You tell her that she matters to God and you leave her a card and they show up here. Then that means we got to create more seats. We have to create more space for more seats for more people to be able to come here. That's why a third service. And what that also means is because we are about being a multi-generational church. We want to reach grandmothers and grandfathers. We want to reach parents. We want to reach single adults, older adult singles, college-age adult singles. We want to reach families with young children. And this means that we need to have leaders step up or people to say, hey, I'll help do children's ministry in this third service, because we have to be able to offer a whole children's ministry service if we add this third service, which means that you could have the opportunity to be watering in the life of a child and watching, and at some point watching life, spiritual life birth in that young kid. And you could be a part of that. It also means, you guys already know what it's like to get in and out of our lobby. It means that if we add more people here, we've got to enlarge that foyer area. We've got to do something to where we can have a more of a commons area. And there in that commons area, you can have a conversation without being hip-checked, you know, when you're going out. You know what it's like. Excuse me, you know, you feel like something's wrong with you. But being able to put chairs out there where you can sit down with a cup of coffee and have a good conversation with somebody without feeling like you're on top of somebody else. It means that we have to have more adults step up and say, hey, I'll teach a life group. You didn't even know it was in you. We can see it in you. Well, we're inviting you to come and be a part of this. We are inviting you to help us take these next steps. It also means that we have to add an additional teaching role to our staff. For one, you don't want to hear this voice every Sunday, right? So we've got to be able to add some more teaching, additional teaching staff to our staffs to help with this teaching role. It's good for us to hear from different voices and from different perspectives and from different personalities, because some people connect better with another personality, and that's fine. And we want to encourage that and foster that and make that happen, but that's what it's going to mean for us. It also means that we need ministry leader multiplication. Here, if our ministry leaders are very familiar with a term that we've been talking to them for a while now about. Every Wednesday, the first Wednesday night of each month, we meet with all of our ministry leaders. If they lead a ministry or if they lead a care group, we ask them to show up here on the first Wednesday of each month. And we've been talking about this idea of keychain leadership. It came from Kara Powell in her book that she wrote, Growing Young. And this idea of keychain leadership is that you, as a ministry leader, are identifying other people who have the potential. You see the diamond in the rough. You see the person who's in there that could be. And you are bringing them alongside of you. And you are helping them. It means that, yes, it means that your volunteer hours just got extended. I know it's harder to train somebody, but it means you're willing to invest in somebody else, and then you empower them. You give them the keys, if you will, to that area of ministry, and you set them free. You let them lead. You let them go, and then you continue to lead. This is how, if we're going to be able to train children's ministry leaders, this is how we're going to do it, so that we can have and add another children's ministry during one of our services. You guys know right now we only have children's ministry at one of our services. Is at this service at 10:30. But if we add another service, we need to be able to offer children's ministry at that hour as well. It also means that we need to expand our city impact to other cities and towns. You know, we've got a great rapport with the mayor's office here in Cranston. We've got a great rapport now with Stadium Elementary School that we've adopted. I can't tell you the bridges that have been built. And do you know that they were asking for volunteers for Reading Week? Ever who was overseeing that shot me this email and said, Rick, please, first she said, thank you so much for all the volunteers. We have so many, we don't need any more volunteers. That's the first time that's ever happened at Stadium School. They've always been in need. And they're like, no, we've got them all filled up. We're so thankful, though. And it's because of you guys signing up, saying, I'll go read to a kid for 15 minutes, for 20 minutes. The impact that that has is tremendous. But you know what? Let's not just keep it for Cranston. We've got to expand that to Johnson and Smithfield and Lincoln and Cumberland. We've got to go south with West Warwick and Coventry and Exeter and Richmond. And we got to be thinking more about our state and how are we going to have impact in these different cities and towns, which means this, that we've got to multiply our campus. We've got to have another campus in another region of our state so that we can show up and we can say, we are for you. We are for your kids. We are for your city or your town, and we're here to help. Show us what to do. That's all that we did with Mayor Fung. We just showed up at a meeting and said, hey, we're here to serve you. How can we serve you? They had us going to historical cemetery sites, you know, taking care of that. They would give us the phone calls that where an elderly person needed somebody to mow their yard. Somebody would show up there and mow their yard, you know, and then it's just continued to compound. When they have a need, they call us. And that's what we want to do throughout our state and one city after another and one town after another. You stop and think about these little towns that just don't have the resources. And what if we, as God's people, showed up and said, here we are to serve you in the name of Jesus. No strings attached. Just show us what to do. Show us, and some of them it may be shoveling manure. Who knows? But we're just going to show up and shovel manure if that's what you want us to do. We are here to serve you. This is what God is calling us to do, to plant and to water the gospel seeds that He wants to grow. He desires to call people to this. And then, if we just can't keep it for our state, it's got to be global. We have got to add more global partners. We have to be able to send more people. You know, we've got Sarah Hutchins just came back home. She's been in Vietnam for the past year. In a couple of weeks, she's going to come and she's going to share with us what that was like. She went to Vietnam to teach at school, but you know what? There's an underlying motive why she's doing that. She's going there to serve Jesus so she can share Jesus with these kids and with her assistants. And you wait until you hear how this has mushroomed out. It's so cool. But we need more of that. We need to add more global partners to that. Right now, our globals team is talking to a person who is headed to Turkey, and the reason they're there is to serve the Syrian refugees who had obviously leave their country, and here they are. And the reason this person is there is to fit them, amputees. and he's able to fit, you know, them with the missing limbs that they have. And there he is able to share Jesus with them. But we can't do that right now until more of you say, I'm fully in. Until more of you commit to this so that we have the resources to be able to partner with them financially. And it's going to take just, I want us to stop and let's pause for a second and go back to the beginning with Wayne. With Wayne Salisbury. And you think of what he does, all the work that he puts into dirt so that there can be a profit at the end of the year. And how much more valuable is a person's eternal and spiritual life worth? It's going to take a lot of sacrifice from a lot of us to move forward in this way. And so, back to our passage, notice, here's my question for you this morning. Notice what Paul said. He said, each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. My question to you is, are you doing the work that God has called you to? Are you? Just let that sit there. You answer that between you and God. Are you doing the work that God has called you to? Are you a planter? Are you a waterer? He goes on to say, the one who plants and the one who waters. And we are in this together. It says they work together for the same purpose. It doesn't matter who the person is. What matters is that we have the same purpose. And the purpose is to let people know how much God loves them, how much He cares about them, and what He wants to do in their life. And this is the power of one. One kernel produces a stalk with one ear that reproduces over 600 other kernels on one ear. And if that one stalk produces two or three or four ears of corn, and then you take that and multiply that times a whole field, an acre of land can hold anywhere 22,000 to 34,000 stalks of corn. Think what God can do in a church like ours when we're devoted to this, when we're committed to this. So on your connection card, in your bulletin, here's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to commit to asking God daily to show me the one to which I can demonstrate His love. Here's what we want to pray for you. We do want you to commit to doing this. If you will commit to living your life like this, commit to being a person like this, then we do want you to let us know, because we want to pray on Tuesday morning when we get together. We pray about these things. We want to pray that God will encourage you, that He will show you the person, that He will lead you to the right path, to the right person, and that you'll have ears to hear. But I want you to take, next to you should be a little baggie of seeds that have corn in it. And that little baggie, those couple of seeds, what I want you to do with that is take that home. And I want you to place that somewhere where you will see it first thing in the morning. I mean, as soon as your feet hit the floor, I want you to put it somewhere where you're going to stare at it and let it be a reminder that God has called you to be either today, on that day when you see it, every day when you wake up, He's either called you to plant seed or He's called you to water it. And would you place that there as a reminder? I need to pray today, and God, You whisper to me. Tell me who it is that You want me to share Your love with. If you'll do that, we want to receive those connection cards. You put them in the offering boxes on your way out. Last week, Pastor Dave gave us this challenge. Pastor Dave asked us, and the reason why we put this same one back on there is because there's several of you who came up saying, hey, I didn't get a connection card, but I want you to know I'm in. I'm in. This is for you. If you missed out on the connection card and you want to say, hey, I'm in, that's what that next step is about. But then as we close today, maybe this is where you're at. Maybe this, if you are here today, and whether this is your first time, maybe you've grown up in church. but you have never put your faith in this good news. You have never really believed. You've had a head knowledge, but you've never given your life over to Jesus. You've never invited Jesus into your life. Today could be your day. You could have a defining moment. And this, honestly, is the heart of our church. We want everybody to understand their eternal destiny can be changed forever. You can have a better life. Jesus makes your life better now, but let me tell you about the future. It's even better there. And to be able to walk in connection with Jesus, to be able to go from God's creation to His child, that's what we're asking you to do. If this morning you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, will you give us your name and your phone number? And the reason why is because we are going to call you. Either myself, Justin, or somebody's going to call you. And we're going to say, hey, we saw your connection card. And it says that you put your faith in Jesus. We want to help you. We got resources for you. We want to help water that spiritual life that's going on in there. So take that, put it in the offering boxes. And then we're going to stand right now. Let's all stand. We're going to sing this song as we close. And I just want to pray, and I want to address something that's maybe very real in some people's lives, and this is this idea of Rick, if we move forward in this way, some of you know exactly what this means for your life, what it means, the sacrifice, the cost, the time commitment, and that brings up all kinds of emotions inside of you. We just want to trust this over to God, and we want to do what God wants us to do. So Jesus, we come to you this morning, and we ask that we'll just be your people. Father, we know that you're a miracle-working God. And in a moment, Jesus, we're going to sing this song back to you, acknowledging that you are a God that can split the sea wide open and walk and allow your people to walk across on dry ground. And God, if that is true, you certainly will provide the time. You will certainly provide the resources that are needed. God, you will certainly provide the leaders that are needed. But God, more importantly, that you will provide those who are committed in their heart to be seed planters or seed waterers. You will do that in them. And God, we pray that you will drown out all the fears that we might have of all the implications that this might mean for us, and that this might mean that I don't get to sit in my same chair, or it's going to be uncomfortable, or whatever. God, please, Lord, will you drown out those fears, the fears that we may have. We come to you with this. And Jesus, we come to you because we're excited, Jesus. We're excited about what you will do and the changed lives that will happen because you, Father, made it grow. Love you in Jesus' name.